Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And the podcasts are online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. And thank you very much to Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar for their sponsorship. As most everybody knows, Mayor Billy Kanoi is going through some challenges right now, having been indicted or accused by the county grand jury of missteps related to his use of the county purchasing card. Mayor Kanoi has acknowledged mistakes and says he paid back the roughly $30,000 that was personal expenses. A trial date has tentatively been set for July 18, 2016, but that's not our focus today. Mayor Kanoi is Hawaii County's mayor and about 8 months from the end of his second and final term. And that means there's still lots of work to be done under this administration. Mayor Billy Kanoi is my guest today. Good morning. Aloha, Mayor.
Aloha, Sherry.
Thank you so much for being here. And before we go to the stuff I really want to talk about, we need to talk about the elephant in the room just a little bit. The Honolulu Star-Advertiser wrote an editorial suggesting that you would be distracted by legal issues, and that was a reason for you to step down. So the question is, can you be mayor for the next 8 months and not be distracted by the other things that are going on?
Absolutely, Sherry. Our commitment, not just myself, but our entire administration, is committed to the people of the island of Hawaii. I've tasked everyone that we will work as hard in the next 8 months as we've worked in the last 7.5 years. So our focus remains on our programs and services and building the projects and infrastructure that the people of Hawaii Island need and deserve. There's $164 million in projects currently ongoing, and we look forward to completing all of that before the end of our term. So yes, myself and my team's entire focus is on the service of the people of the county of Hawaii, and no, I will not be resigning.
Okay, so you can do this without distraction.
Absolutely. I've got a legal team that handles the legal process. Myself and our administration serve as a community.
Well, just as an aside, I've known you now for probably 16 years because I knew you when you were Mayor Kim's executive assistant.
Yeah,
and I've actually not seen too many people who can multitask quite as well as you and keep your focus on different things.
I have a great group of people in the administration, and they make serving as mayor that much easier.
Mayor, we just got finished a week ago with a major event for our island, and that's the Merry Monarch Festival. And I know you were there. Give us your reflections about Merry Monarch this year.
Well, you know, Sherry, I was sitting there, and same thing, like, there's a last to everything and a first to everything. And I mean that, like, that was the last parade that me and Takako will walk in as mayor and first lady and with the community. And as you reflect back, you're so humbled and so honored that something so beautiful happens in your community. You know, Merry Monarch Festival is a great celebration of our culture. It's a huge economic impact. But more than that, you sit there and you're so proud because everything that celebrates Hawaiian culture, the best are in your community. The music, the dance, the arts, the crafts. So it was a great week. It's sad as soon as it's over, but I was especially proud not just to sit there and witness this great celebration of art and culture and talent, but that Hawaii Island did so well. The Lim Ohana and her alau from Kohala, they were second and third overall in the women's. We had Uncle Johnny Lamho and Hula Halau o Ka'ua Kanilehua, who won, I think, Awana, both Awana and Kahiko, and Hula Halau o Kaliki Laulani, former halau of Kumu Re Fonseca. The Kane were amazing and won as well. And so as somebody from Mokupuni o Keawe, as we like to say, our Hawaii Island, it was an especially proud celebration for our culture that Hawaii Island's dancers and kumus did so well.
And I got the sense that everybody felt really comfortable and positive about the event, and that was a good thing because having people have a positive experience here on Hawaii Island and in Hilo is always important for our tourism.
Absolutely, and every year we've invested in improving the quality of experience just from the county's end. You know, whether it was, you know, redoing Edith Kanaka'ole and putting in new bathrooms and redoing all of the facilities in that complex, Civic Auditorium, Auntie Sally's, as well as the Butler buildings. And then this year, the wonderful workers at County Public Works actually paved the entire Ho'olulu complex in a matter of weeks. What could have been millions of dollars and architects and engineers lasting years. Think about it, 47 years old, every event in Hilo, Merry Monarch, County Fair, rains, and our kupuna and our families are stuck in mud and gravel. And we said, why don't we just pave the area? And in-house, they did the drainage and everything. And the people came from different islands and were like, wow. So for the Haile Volleyball and Merry Monarch. And so I just want to thank all of the employees and hard workers who, as you said, Sherry, we put on our best that week. And it makes you very proud to call Hilo and Hawaii Island home.
Department of Health has been a little bit under the radar when it comes to things relative to dengue fever. But interestingly, right before Merry Monarch, the Department of Health made a big splash. They hired a videographer. They sprayed all around Edith Kanaka'ole Stadium in the area, saying they were spraying for mosquitoes. I'm just wondering if Department of Health or the county had gotten complaints from possible participants that they would not come if they were fearful of dengue fever, because that was really unusual for Department of Health to do something so high profile and then do press releases about it.
Well, no, I think it was just erring on a side of caution. I didn't hear any reports. When I do have reports, and I've had one, that there was a group that might cancel because of dengue fever, I did go out to Waikoloa, Hilton Waikoloa, and myself and Ross Birch from the Big Island Visitors Bureau personally met with representatives, and I, on behalf of the county, conveyed the first-class team we have at Civil Defense. And they said, well, what about Zika? And can you guarantee that no one will come in with the disease from anywhere in the world? And I said, I cannot make that guarantee, but I can assure you that our first responders, fire, police, our first class civil defense system is very experienced, a great team in place, and the County of Hawaii works exceedingly well with all of the state and federal agencies you could possibly name. And so the same situation would have been done with Merry Monarch, but I didn't personally get a report that people were concerned about. But, I always appreciate the Department of Health being proactive and willing to come in our community and give people a sense of confidence and safety.
Last time we talked to Mayor Kanoi, it was just actually a day after Governor Ige declared a state of emergency based on mosquito-borne illnesses. Now, we are recording this interview on April 5th. Has the governor or has Department of Health shared any particular specific plans about what they intend to do to prevent us from getting mosquito-borne illnesses as a result of this emergency declaration they made for the state?
I think the Department of Health, as well as Governor Ige, have made a commitment to invest in increasing personnel, extra epidemiologists, increasing the capacity at the labs, understanding that it's not if, it's just a matter of when we have to address, whether it's chikungunya or dengue or Zika. It's prudent that we invest, and Department of Health, we're very thankful for their cooperation. But here at the County of Hawaii, we also are creating a system by which we learn from every single incident we experience, so we understand how much ground people we will need in vector control. So we trained over 100 county employees in Parks and Rec and Public Works, because it's not just what's before us, but it's also what's ahead of us. We've been very fortunate, I believe, overall, with regards to the dengue outbreak that we experienced beginning from November till now in April. We've learned a lot, and we'll certainly continue to learn in the future. I'm very thankful for everyone's hard work in the community and the community's participation to fight the bite. I think the education and outreach really made a huge difference.
So in answer to my question about whether Governor Ige or Department of Health have shared any specific plans for the future, I'm guessing the answer is no.
Well, we are in communication, actually, Sherry. I just talked to Darryl yesterday, and he was on vacation. But I did ask him what was our plan for our emergency declaration, because it's expiring soon. We're in communication with the state. We're looking to probably extend our emergency declaration, maybe another 90 days. I'd like to be certain and not let down our guard too soon, because it's much easier to extend a little while more than to get started back up again. And so in communication with Darryl, he's assured me that the state of Hawaii has indicated to him that if we make our request for an extension, that the state would work closely with us and probably follow suit.
So speaking of Daryl Oliveira, dengue always leads to him, and anything having to do with civil defense leads to him. Mm-hmm. Daryl Oliveira retired as fire chief from Hawaii County, and you used your powers of persuasion to bring him back to be head of Hawaii County Civil Defense. And he told me from the start, I wanted to retire. I could not say no to the mayor. But now, Daryl is going to retire. He's announced that effective May 1st, he is. Yeah. So your thoughts on that, and then what are your plans to find somebody to fill in behind one of our greatest civil defense directors,
Absolutely. First of all, I'm very thankful that Daryl, Chief Oliveira, came out of retirement and served as civil defense director. And we've, with our own eyes, our entire community, seen his incredible communication skill, his deep compassion for the community, his very respectful and calm nature, and his very strategic decision making. I couldn't ask for a better partner to serve the people of Hawaii Island. He was my third civil defense director, and you know, an 8-year term, and God bless him and his family. But he would ask me, you know, maybe for the past year, hey, Mayor, you was thinking, you know, and because Daryl's, you know, he's a very sought after individual. He'll do fine post his second retirement with the county. But I've always told him, nah, Daryl, a couple more months. And he said, hey, Mayor, I, you know, really look forward to retiring this time. And he's given so much and worked tirelessly around the clock for years. I couldn't say no. So I said, sure, Daryl. I said, Daryl, I only ask one thing. Can you help me make sure that we train somebody who's as gifted and talented and experienced as you, and then you can leave? I'm thinking that'll take another year or two, so I'm hoping he'll stick around. But he said, oh, yeah, I'll stick around as long as that takes. So even though he's retired effective May 1st, it's not like he's walking out the door on May 1st. We'll make sure before Daryl actually steps out that door, we both agree that the person that we selected is the very best that Hawaii could possibly find, because that's how important that person is to carry what Daryl has done and also to serve everybody with that communication and coordination skill that pulls together everybody in the right direction.
Well, I'm actually going to be doing an Island Issues with Daryl when he gets back from vacation.
And kind of hint, Sherry, maybe if you can just a couple more months. No.
But you don't have any particular candidates yet?
No, I don't.
Mayor, I want to talk about budget because that's a really key component of Hawaii County. And I want to take us back actually to refresh everybody's minds that in the year 2000, our budget for the county was $175 million. And by 2008, when you took it over, it had ballooned about 230% to $403 million. And then starting in 2008, I know you cut the budget. You had to cut the budget because we just did not have the county revenues to support the budget nor the people. You cut funding for vacant positions. You cut the budget way down. But in the last couple of years, starting in 2013, you've started increasing the budget again. And the most recent budget you just submitted for the upcoming year, I believe, is $462 million, about $23 million more than last year. Mm-hmm. So talk about the budget and the issues facing us as we go forward and why the budget is increasing by $23 million.
Yeah, it's a great question, Sherry. And you're right. Over the last 8 years, we've seen the budget go from a high of 403 down to 365. And my goal, when I'd sit with Nancy and Deanna and our finance team, was always, I'd always wanted to get out of office with the budget no more than when we took office. That was the goal. Like you said, the past couple of years, it's grown in two consecutive years significantly, as you said, by $23 million. So now we're at 462. So from 403 to 462, we still have less employees in the county of Hawaii today than we had when we took office. So we tried to run a more efficient, leaner county government. But in the last few years, we've seen 8% increases to all of our fire and police personnel. The 8% increases, of course, was through arbitration. Our UPW and HGA both got 4% increases per year. And I want to thank our employees because when the economy was tough, you know, they took furloughs and employees made sacrifices so we didn't have to lay anyone off. You know, we could freeze and cut vacant positions. But when the economy rebounded, you know, it's only fair that they get that reasonable labor increase. So much of the increase between where we were and where we are salary, wages, health care, and retirement. And that accounts for about 18 plus $19 million of that increase.
And if I'm correct, the pay increase for the union employees is all negotiated at the state level, and Hawaii County has one vote out of seven or eight, so it really is at the state that this gets negotiated. It's not really up to us.
Yeah, we certainly have a voice, though. We certainly have a voice. But again, you're right. The governor has four votes. Each of the counties have one vote. And that's why the Hawaii Council of Mayors are so important. We all negotiate as a group. But I don't want this, Sherry, to be a reflection like the increase in the budget is somehow to be blamed on the employees, because we believe they provide a great service in the community. I've been doing a wonderful job, but healthcare is increasing, retirement costs are increasing, and those are just unavoided fixed costs that you go into the budget. The rest of the budget increases, of course, is expanded programs and services for a growing population.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. We're talking this morning with Mayor Billy Kanoi in an interview that I recorded last Tuesday at his office. Island Issues is sponsored by Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar at King Shops and on Ali'i Drive and airs every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. You may listen to the podcast online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Next Sunday, I will rebroadcast a talk story with Patty Davis. She's the daughter of Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan. I talked with Patty about 5 years ago after she wrote a very moving essay about her father for Time magazine that focused on his battle with Alzheimer's. And when Nancy Reagan died in March, I was reminded about my talk story with Patty Davis, and that's what we'll listen to again next week. Now, back to Mayor Billy Kanoi. I understand in recent speeches to the Konakohala Chamber of Commerce and previously at the Japanese Chamber of Commerce, you've talked about the capital improvement projects that have been done over the last 8 years, which I think amounts to around $600 million. Mm-hmm. But in some recent articles in the newspaper, it seemed like there was a bit of confusion about where the money comes from for those kind of improvements and what the impact of bonds is. And I think we need to clarify that, because it sort of sounded in some of the articles like maybe the county and you were doing a bad thing in borrowing money to pay for the project. So let's get clarity on what exactly is going on here.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry. And you're right. Over the last 8 years, we've spent about $603 million in capital improvement projects. Those are not monies funded within the operating budget. The operating budget we talked about at $462 million is an operating budget largely through property tax revenue. The CIP budget, or capital improvement budget, is funded through general obligation bonds. And every year you pay a debt service on those bonds that you float to create construction projects. And that's why when we heard us talk in the past about maintaining our excellent credit rating, it is so that we have that borrowing capacity at a lower rate. And so when this recent bond float is like, well, look at this bond float, how big it is. Part of it is refinancing old bonds that had a higher interest rate a decade or so ago. By retiring those bonds, we actually save $18 million. This large bond float actually creates a cost savings to the people of County of Hawaii. The second element of the bond float is, what is the cost next year to pay off all of the general obligation bonds that funded the CIP projects? And when we took office in 2008, that number was $43 million. So when I came in 2009, I had a debt service that was left to me from the previous administration of $43 million. When we leave in December of 2016, in 2017, that debt service will still be $43 million. So this sense that somehow we've left the next administration or future county councils with a burden because of the debt service ratio or the amount of capital improvement projects we've built is not true. We've tried to keep it at exactly, and luckily, it's exactly as it was in 2009 when we came into office. But still, we were able to effectively utilize those capital improvement bond monies to invest in roads and parks and projects in our community.
Mayor, revenue sources for Hawaii County, what are our revenue sources?
Our revenue sources come from either the federal government or state government. They call that intra-governmental revenue. Revenue sources are also primarily our property taxes and our transient accommodation tax, or TAT. That's our second largest source of revenue, and that's about $18 million today.
Okay, a question about transient accommodation tax. Initially, the counties were supposed to get a better portion of that because of the fact that that's the hotel tax, and we're supposed to be able to accommodate the visitors with our roads and our parks and our fire department, et cetera. But the state has not shown any willingness to give us more than just the $18 million at this point. Any sign of weakening there where they might give us more?
Well, a couple years ago during the recession, when the state of Hawaii wanted to take away the TAT, or transient accommodation tax, from the counties, the county said, wait a minute, the TAT was created to help the counties offset the impact of tourism. So the state of Hawaii has taxing authority, vehicle rental car tax, landing fee tax, hotel room tax. So the hotel room tax, a couple years ago when the state wanted to take it from the counties, and we all said, wait, that's our second largest source of revenue, and you're taking a tax that is paid by the visitor and shifting that burden onto property owners and people who pay property taxes in the counties, which would be an unfair burden. And so we agreed to a cap in a mutual agreement that things were challenging and difficult. We'll cap it, but the cap will be lifted later when times get good. Well, times have gotten much better. The past 2 years have seen record number of arrivals of visitors, but the counties have not seen a corresponding increase in their hotel room tax. In fact, our $18 million, if just based on an existing formula without the cap, County of Hawaii would have received another $16 million, $34 million. It's a significant amount of money to the people of the County of Hawaii, and we're hopeful that the state will agree to lift the cap and maintain the percentage. So there'll be a percentage that goes to the convention center, a percentage that goes to Hawaii Tourism Authority for the promotion of the visitor industry in Hawaii, and then the counties get their fair share.
Is that something that the state legislature controls?
With regards to that hotel room tax, there was a task force created in the past year by the legislature, had all the county directors, the industry representatives. They came up with what we believed was a great compromise. It was presented to the state legislature, and they rejected it and said, well, we don't agree. So it's still in flux, but we're hopeful that come to the next couple weeks, the end of the legislature, that we'll be able to hopefully get that cap lifted. But if not, at least get predictability and certainty with the money we do have.
Okay, so that leaves us with the biggest chunk of our revenue, property taxes.
Yes.
Is the property tax rate going to have to increase this year to accommodate the increased budget?
No, there will be no property tax rate increase to address the growing budget. No.
But property taxes are going to increase. Tell us why.
Because of property valuations. When property valuations go down, property revenue goes down. We have seen about a 7 to 8% property valuation increase. That's being sorted out right now and finalized before we submit our final budget for the county council to consider. But that's where we're at, about a 7 to 8% property valuation increase, which is the largest property valuation increase we've seen in the last 8 years since we emerged from the Great Recession and the recovering economy. So it's a good sign all the way around.
Right now, the county council is considering a 0.5% increase in the general excise tax, which is something the state has now allowed the counties to do. If that passes the county council, are you going to veto it, sign it, let it become law without your signature?
I defer to the county council. If the Hawaii County Council sends me the general excise tax proposal and they positively pass it, I will sign it. It will not benefit our administration, but I believe it's important for the counties to have an additional tool in their toolbox to address perhaps a next recession that lies up ahead. We've all experienced in the last 8 years what can happen when a recession occurs and the county has limited opportunities to raise revenue. If that 0.5% could be used for designated purposes, as it is, to improve infrastructure on Hawaii Island, I'd be willing to sign it and to move that forward to have future mayors and future council people whether to consider to actually implement it.
I hope it actually does get used for infrastructure, because that's always the concern, that money goes into a black hole and then it doesn't get used for what it should.
That's the concern by everyone, right? I believe anybody's willing to pay a little more if they understand what it's for and exactly where their money's going. And so that 0.5% general excise tax dedicated to infrastructure, improvement of roads and transportation for the county of Hawaii, I believe would be another tool, as I said, in a toolbox.
Statewide, homelessness is a huge problem, and we in Hawaii County, as of the last homeless point in time count, have around 1,300 people who are considered to be homeless. There's probably more, but those are the ones that were counted. That's about 300 more than last year. That's actually per capita, as I understand it, the same as Oahu. The governor has considered homelessness as a high priority, and he's allocated $1 million, a portion of which, theoretically, is to come to Hawaii County. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, as of now, none of that money has come to Hawaii County. Give us your thoughts about that. I know the county's doing a lot of things for homelessness, but can we expect to see any funding from the state, or is it really going to be a Hawaii County issue?
I think it's a combination of both. The state has come true with homelessness, and just talking with Susan Akiyama, our housing director, through the Aloha United Way, which is, of course, some state funding. That's about $1.2 million. Another $1.1 million came in the form of grants. We're using that to help families in Section 8 housing. An innovative program that they're looking at how to utilize a lot of resources in a short period of time, because it can be a challenge. So you have to work really well with your nonprofits. The strategy is also, how do we keep people who are in the process of perhaps losing their homes, stay in their homes, you know, through payment of utilities and that type of assistance. But yes, homelessness impacts everyone in our community. We understand that homelessness also can come with a lot of other factors that requires the need for additional services. It's not just about having a roof over someone's head. Some people in that vulnerable population need additional assistance, and we have to be able to provide that if we want to have people not be in our parks and have people not be in our streets. And I know you said it's a statewide problem, but it's also a national problem. Cities of every size are being overwhelmed by homelessness. So we know there's all these elements of vocational and educational training and substance abuse and parenting and how to strengthen families and give people the employment and economic opportunities to lift themselves up. But we have to provide the services. So here in Hawaii Island, and especially here in West Hawaii, a lot of programs and projects are being implemented, from the $24 million, 96-unit Homes of Uluvini on Hinalani, which provides that gap area of transitional housing, to the $1.77 million West Hawaii Emergency Shelter. That's also expanded to the Friendly Place. Another $2.5 million will go into a project completed this October called Micro Unit Housing. We cannot just pull people out of the downtown business district or out of our parks if they do not have a place to go. And also on the other end is affordable home ownership. And we're at 91 homes in the homes of Kamakua Nui in Waikoloa, a workforce family and workforce housing for our community. And it's at that price point that really allows that first-time home buyer in. And if they make all their commitments and obligations for the next decade, families will have equity and homes in Waikoloa. So, yes, homelessness is that entire spectrum of housing. We also have our landlord summit, trying to get the private sector to be partners with us, county being better partners with them, because it's going to take all of us. It's a long-term challenge. But I believe here on Hawaii Island, we can do it because our communities are small enough that we can provide a helping hand when we need to, but we have to provide options and alternatives to people so that we continue to allow our families to enjoy the open spaces in our community.
Yeah, it's really a challenge, and it is a challenge everywhere. I know that we're putting in 32 micro units, so 32 people can live in that in West Hawaii. Mm. I believe the Hope Services facilities, the Friendly Place in Kona and the one in Hilo, are now going into a 24/7 cycle. They've formerly been closing, you know, like they're only open from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon or something. And I always ask them, well, so where are these people supposed to go? So I think that is one of the most positive things, that people at least would have a place to be.
Right. That's been one of the keys, is partnering with our nonprofit community. Now in Kona, they're at 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. We hope that we can secure more funding and provide 24/7 coverage for folks in our community. It's a tough challenge.
Mayor, I want to ask you about something that's really a philosophical question that isn't something that you as mayor are going to have to address immediately, but Hawaii has always been considered to be somewhat unfriendly to business for an awful lot of reasons. Mm. And now on Hawaii Island, we're facing the significant challenge of having had a business that was very legal, 30-meter telescope, go through all the state processes, be given the go-ahead and instruction by the state to go ahead and start building. They were blocked by protesters. The decision of the Department of Land and Natural Resources was turned back by the judge. So TMT is now starting over again, and they actually are searching for possible other places to be. And it's not just about TMT. It's about how is our island going to move forward and have a thriving economy. This is a really big concern for small and large business folks because they see this as an example of, oh my gosh, what is the fate of business here? So, like I said, it's a philosophical question. What are your thoughts?
Wow, I have so many thoughts about that. There's so many ways to answer that, Sherry. One is, you know, of course, there's a business perspective, right? When there's investors and businesses, you want to create jobs so our working families are working, so our kids grow up healthy and safe. So you want investment. And investors, you know, are looking for two things. They're looking for predictability and certainty. They're more likely to invest in A when there's more predictability and certainty than B. And if you look at it from that perspective, two projects in recent times, the Super Ferry and the 30-meter telescope. Super Ferry was $300 to $400 million. The 30-meter telescope, numbers in that range are being tossed around as having been expended or invested thus far in a $1.2 billion project. But both cases went to the Hawaii Supreme Court. Both cases were overturned at the Hawaii Supreme Court and remanded back. And that, of course, took away that predictability and that certainty from those businesses. So you're right. And if you look at it from what do we want our kids? We want our kids to have great opportunities beyond construction and tourism. And if they want to go and promote and invest in agriculture, that'd be awesome. But we also have to give our kids science and technology and innovation, our kids and renewable energy. We have to pursue true sustainability. We look at the great unpredictability and uncertainty in the world. We lie 2,500 miles from any place in the world. We blessed with all these gifts of solar and wind and geothermal and ocean thermal energy conversion, but you need technology and you need investment and you need expertise to make that happen. At the same time, we all know who call Hawaii Island home. It's the most beautiful place in the world to live. That's why we live here. That's why we aloha other people who move here, because we don't blame them. You know, I would move here if I didn't live here, because this is the most beautiful place. But when we see Maui or Oahu or California or other parts of the country, it's natural for people who call Hawaii Island home to be concerned. Whether you're environmentally concerned about the growth or industrialization of our communities and businesses and want to keep Hawaii Island pristine and special and unique. But again, you always come back to, but our kids need jobs and opportunities. So what is the answer? The answer is we've got to communicate that it can't be about conflict and litigation. You know, and we've got to ask, Sherry, I've always asked, how much construction we need on Hawaii Island every year? What is that number? Is it 100 million? Is it 50 million? Is it 150 million? How much do we need to keep every electrician, plumber, mason, drywall, roofer employed? People who already live here, people who call this island home. How much is that? Because if we go too much, then we got to import people. And more people come here to work in a construction industry. So housing and traffic and schools. And then when the economy crashes, right, everybody's out of work. So you don't want this boom and bust cycle and economy. What about visitors? You know, so much of our community is the hospitality and visitor industry. And however you feel about it, a lot of our community works in that industry. So we got to keep them in. But how much visitors is enough, Sherry? Like, how much is that number that would fill our hotel rooms and all the restaurants we have and all the activities are fully staffed and everyone who works has full hours? Restaurants, right? Rental cars. What is that number? And let's find that number and try to grow very smart and strategic. But it cannot be all development and it cannot be no development. I mean, you cannot stand on an end of a philosophical or ideological spectrum and yell and shout. That's not how a healthy community society develops. We develop because we understand we're going to agree and disagree and agree to disagree. But we're still neighbors. We still got to go to the same beach. Our kids going to play on the same soccer field. We're going to the same churches, shop in the same stores. What are we going to do, avoid each other? We're going to yell at each other, blame people? That's not going to maintain this beautiful, special place we call home. We need science and technology. You know, but yes, we got to protect our culture and our island, because if we lose them, where are we going? There's no place else to go. We got to get it right here. But if we keep talking, we keep understanding, and we might not always agree, but we got to be civil and got to have aloha. Because if it's just about conflict and trying to win so that somebody else lose, that we miss the whole point of living in a beautiful place like Hawaii. So to the question you asked about TMT and other projects in Hawaii and here on Hawaii Island, get room for it all. You know, Mauna Kea is the astronomy capital of the world, of the world. But yes, it is a sacred, special, unbelievable place to anybody, Hawaiian or non-Hawaiian. So what is that balance? The only way we can get there is we all got to just keep talking story. I respect everybody's position, but it's not all about winning and losing. It's about living together, and it's about everybody having that opportunity. Our kids, Sherry, who smile like grow up, and they like explore the universe like our ancestors, of course they deserve that right. And why shouldn't the kids on Hawaii Island, kids in these schools, why shouldn't they have access to the best and most creative and innovative in the world? Why shouldn't they? And yet, we can do them with aloha, can do them with respect, we can do them right. We've shown that if you talk to the community, hey, we can build this world. And if we find iwi, we can work with the families and the lineal descendants of that ahupua'a to relocate those iwi and have it be malamud and cared for, but yet allow the road to be built. Because all of our families use that road, and we can be respectful, get one balance in everything. It's not always my way, your way, or no way. And as long as we remember that, we'll be fine.
Mayor, we're saying aloha now. Anything else you want to say before we do?
No, just thank you, Sherry, for always giving myself, members of the administration, an opportunity to reach out to the community, answer questions, provide information. I'm in over 60 community cabinet meetings done in the 8 years, and taking your administration into the community, watching people smile, being hugged and kissed by your kupuna, having your family treated with so much love and respect. I couldn't imagine living in a more beautiful community, or having the honor to serve with wonderful people who continue to give this island their very best to the last day. I promise everyone in our island community that we're going to all work really, really hard to the very last day. And hopefully when we walk away, we've left Hawaii Island and Hawaii County in a much better position than when we first took office. That's our goal.
Thank you so much, Mayor Billy Kanoi. Aloha.
Aloha, Sherry. Thank you.
And of course, thank you to our listeners for being with us. Thanks to Hawaiian Ukulele and Guitar for sponsoring Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. See you next Sunday morning. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Island's Mahalo Multimedia.